Switzerland with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hello and welcome to episode number 106 of Robots. My name is Jana, and in this episode, we'll be exploring the world of Swiss robotics with Dario Floriano. But first, as always, here's Christine with the latest news and developments.
Thank you, Jana. Researchers at the Polytechnic Institute of New York University in the US and the Istituto Superiore di Sanità in Italy have created a robotic zebrafish that can mix with real zebrafish and influence their behavior. The robot visually resembles an actual zebrafish. It is roughly 15 centimeters long and spray-painted with a zebrafish's characteristic blue stripe pattern. To influence fish behavior, the researchers controlled the robot's tail motion to mimic that of real fish. This new research builds on past projects for mixed robot animal societies, which has tackled chickens and cockroaches. Such mixed societies adds a powerful new experimental option to the toolbox of behavioral biologists to understand social interactions between animals, which are usually very difficult to understand by observation alone. Researchers at the Exertion Games Lab at RMIT University in Melbourne, Australia, have created a robot to support you while exercising. JagoBot is a modified version of the popular AR drone quadrocopter platform developed by French company Parot. The robot will track a marker pattern printed on your t-shirt and fly ahead of you when you go out for a run. The researchers describe JagoBot as an exertion game. They believe that jogging is play. We are not jogging to get from A to B, but for the experience of jogging. And point out that jogging with a physical device that reacts to its environment and, similar to a human jogger, has a limited amount of energy for exercise, creates a very different interaction experience than pure audiovisual stimuli such as aerobic videos. They hope that the robot can improve the jogging experience and enhance our understanding of why we jog, and hence, why we do not jog enough. For more information on the robotic zebrafish or on the JagoBot, visit our website at www.robotspodcast.com.
Dario Floriano is the director of the Swiss National Centre of Competence for Research, NCCR, in robotics, which was launched in December 2010. The centre gathers leading robotic experts from cutting-edge research institutions in Switzerland, including EPFL in Lausanne, ETH Zurich, the University of Zurich, and the Dalmol Institute of Artificial Intelligence. Our reporter Sabine spoke to Floriano about the international role of Swiss robotics, his work at the NCCR Robotics, the importance of education, cross-disciplinary and translational work, and finally, the latest developments in aerial and soft robotics from his own laboratory of intelligent systems at EPFL.
Hi Dario, great to have you back on the show. A lot has happened since our last discussion. You're now the director of the NCCR. What is the NCCR?
The NCCR Robotics is the National Center of Competence in Research Robotics. It's a Swiss-wide initiative, it's a strategic initiative where the Swiss government has decided to invest a significant amount of funds to promote robotics in Switzerland.
And what is your vision?
Over the past 50 years, robotics has enabled a lot of progress around the world. It has satisfied the needs of producing high-quality goods at a reasonable price. Over the next 50 years, perhaps, the new challenges are going to be different. We are not tolerant, for example, of loss of life. We want to have an improved quality of life throughout the duration of our life. And this is where technologies that go beyond information, simply, So technology that include physical interaction with the humans, like robotics, may play a role. So my vision is to take robotics to the next step, moving them out of the factory plants, or at least moving them closer to humans.
Why is it challenging to achieve this vision?
In order to achieve this vision, that is bringing robots closer to humans, you need to rethink entirely the way in which robots are built and the way in which they operate. The way in which they are built concerns the materials and the mechanics. So, to be safer and more compliant, they have to be softer. When you talk about soft robotics, you means new materials, a new way of conceiving these robots. These also affect the way in which we think of control. And you cannot anymore control in the conventional way the tip of the finger of a robotic arm to be precise at a specific point on the surface you want to manipulate. So, we have to really conceive entirely from scratch the way in which robots are built and in which the way in which they behave.
Tell us when this center started and who's involved.
The center started in December 2010. It involved approximately 20 research laboratories across Switzerland at EPFL, that is the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology based in Lausanne, the French-speaking part of Switzerland, and ETAZ, the Institute of Technology based in the German-speaking part of Switzerland. It also involves the University of Zurich and the University of the Italian-speaking part of Switzerland. Over the past 2 years, we've done a number of things, including hiring of 5 professors in areas that will bring, in our opinion, robots closer to humans. And this includes, for example, designing softer and lighter, flexible robots, having interface with the neural system, both invasive and non-invasive, and, for example, new manufacturing methods for robotics.
Tell us about some of the projects that are representative of what you're trying to achieve.
We have many projects at the moment, but if I may broadly select two, I could say that one of the areas where we're investing a lot of effort is what today is called wearable robotics. These are new types of exoskeletons or even garments that you may just wear on you, and they help you not only just doing rehabilitation and support for physically disabled people, but also could be used by anybody, like me, for example. I have to improve my skin technique. I could wear this type of clothes that could guide me in the movements while still giving me full freedom and autonomy and giving me feedback how I should do things. So wearable robotics means investing a lot of effort in new materials, soft, compliant, interface with the human body in a compatible, biocompatible way, but also understanding whether a human is stressed, is at ease, what he or she really thinks and would like to do. So interfacing with the neural system as well. This is one big project that involves a number of research laboratories between EPFL and ETHZ and University of Zurich as well. Another very nice project, and you see some of those behind me, is rethinking what robotics brings to everyday smart objects that we have. For example, furniture in the future may be considered more like robotic devices. So the idea is to create an ecosystem where robotics technologies, meaning autonomous control and embedded sensing, could go into the homes and could be create an ecosystem of robotic devices, some of which may shift from being a passive table that doesn't move all the way to reconfiguring itself and, for example, becoming a cart that allows a person to transport everything around the house.
Once you've developed these Roombots, or once you've developed these wearable devices, how do you think this will translate to industry?
The technology transfer is one of our big investment or action plans, if you like. And at the moment, the way in which we are doing this is by involving some of the most advanced actors who are in the industrial environment, who are developing new concepts that are closer to the type of bio-inspired approach that we take. Just to mention a few, the Festo company, for example. And so this is, we involve them actively, they participate in our advisory board and they give us feedback. The other way in which we do technology transfer is that we actively go out and inform companies of what we are doing, because very often this is research projects closed in the labs. And we try to establish links. So we have a technology transfer officer who has a background in robotics and has a long experience in companies, who is bridging the two environments. The third thing we do, and this is very successful in Switzerland, is encouraging the creation of spin-off companies. Sometimes there is an interesting, promising project in the lab, so we dedicate special funds for starting up these projects and allowing the researchers to move to the creation of a spin-off company.
That part's translating the lab to something in industry, but how do you bring people to the lab? So how are you looking at education in the scope of the NCCR robotics?
We have multiple strands also in education. We have education at different levels. One level is educating the public. So what are robots? They are not dangerous machines. They are not without a soul, in a sense. This is technology that can give good things for us. So we have a big initiative that consists in promoting or explaining robotics to the general public with demonstrations and with interactive workshops. We have a very successful initiative going on for many years, CDPFL, and we are now taking the same model to the German-speaking part of Switzerland, so that it is a nationwide effort. The second action we have in education is educating, targeting specific groups of people, for example, girls or children. We teach them, we use robots to teach them how to program devices that have also have physical components, and this is very successful. We always have all the workshops fully booked well in advance. The third action is creating high-level education, meaning master's and doctoral programs in Switzerland, because we believe that although there is not such a robotics industry as there is a car manufacturing industry today, we believe that this is going to be a nascent, a growing, developing market in the future. And therefore, we want to take one step ahead of industry and starting to create engineers that are who are skilled in robotics. We also think that training people in robotics is going to be useful for a number of other jobs in companies like car manufacturers or information technology companies.
How do you lead a project like this?
Now, leading a project like this takes a lot of effort. And I think being in an academic environment, it requires respecting the people you have on board. And I have excellent people in this project, so just listening to them and allowing them to be creative and to propose new ideas and take responsibility in the project. At the same time, one has to make sure that we also satisfy somehow the goals that we promised we would reach for our sponsors. And this takes a lot of communication, I think. It's basically communicating. But Switzerland is not so big, and so I would say it's not a difficult task.
Could you tell us about some of the collaborations you have with other fields?
Well, in itself, robotics is very interdisciplinary. So we already have people that come from mechanical engineering, computer science, electrical engineering, material science. The new fields we are now approaching, and we successfully established a strong connection, is neuroscience, and especially rehabilitation neuroscience, all what concerns the regrowth of neurons and fibers, for example, for people who have suffered injuries in the spinal cord. And we found that these people from neuroscience are very open-minded to what we are doing in robotics, and we are establishing a very good collaboration where we are starting to establish a common language, and we can clearly see flow of information between the two fields. So I expect quite significant advances in this field for the next 2 years.
How do you encourage synergies not only in Switzerland but also internationally?
Again, I think this is about people. And my strategy is always to look for people who are open-minded, who are established in their field, or at least who are working quite a lot and they have quite good ideas. So it's all a matter of approaching them and saying, hey, look, we're doing this in Switzerland. We think you have a great project and you have complementary skills or ideas to ours. And then what I do is that I create meetings And then out of these meetings, naturally, these people will start talking and then they create a new collaboration. And I can mention successful examples of these already, for example, with the Karlsruhe Institute of Technology in Germany and with the Wyss Institute at Harvard University, just to mention two successful collaborations.
Why is Switzerland a good place to do robotics?
Switzerland is an excellent place to do robotics for, I would say, two reasons. One is the excellent facilities that we have, both at EPFL, at ETHZ, and at other universities, because in order to do robotics, you need to have the technical support and the facilities to do this. It's not just theory, in a sense. So this is a good start. The second thing is that Switzerland over the years has established a very good reputation for encouraging new projects, new ideas that have a lot of interdisciplinary content. So Switzerland is not very big, and we all know that we have to work with each other in order to be successful in the international scene, and this has created a very good discussion field, so that fields that are very interdisciplinary, like robotics, can really flourish.
Do you think the general Swiss population is open to robotics?
One of the challenges is to make sure that the Swiss population, and more in general the population, is willing to accept the type of developments that we do in our research laboratories, and there is a need for products that eventually the spin-off companies will create. In more specifically, the Swiss population is very friendly towards the technological developments. They are curious, and they also have the economic power to afford some of the most recent developments. So in that sense, we think that this is a fertile ground for robotics. At the same time, we already realized from the first field studies, where we bring robots to the homes, that after the first curiosity, there is some sort of skeptical approach to robotics. They say, well, but at the end of the day, perhaps we can do the same thing without robots. And so we have to really understand where robots are needed crucially and how they can be designed so that there is a better integration with the society.
You're also the director of the Laboratory of Intelligent Systems. Can you tell us about some of your more recent developments?
What I do in my laboratory is very much in line with what we do within the Swiss Robotics Center. And I have multiple projects that span flying robotics, to wearable robotics, to artificial intelligence. But I would say that the leading theme over the past couple of years has been soft, compliant, and flexible robots. So I'm looking at the development of materials, manufacturing, and artificial intelligence methods where robots come into physical contact with humans and with the environment. And for example, if I may say an example in flying robotics, instead of designing flying robots that try to avoid obstacles, we design flying robots that collide with people, with objects, they are not harmful, and they even exploit these collisions to understand how the environment looks like. When they have a collision, they don't break, they simply deform, and then they get back into shape, just like an insect colliding into a glass and then flying over again. Other examples are, this is a bit crazier perhaps, is a modular soft exoskeleton made up of soft cells that can change their stiffness so that you could adapt to your body and to any different type of morphologies over time.
Excellent. Thanks, Dario.
Thank you.
And that concludes today's episode. We hope you enjoyed the look behind the scenes of Swiss Robotics. You can find lots more information and all our past episodes on robotspodcast.com. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Until then, goodbye. Switzerland with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.